Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Beside me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Proclaim God's salvation from day to day.
Declare God's glory among the nations and God's wonders among all peoples.
For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, more to be feared than all gods.
As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols. But you, O Lord, have made the heavens.
Majesty and magnificence are in your presence. Power and splendor are in your sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power.
Ascribe to the Lord the honor due the holy name. Bring offerings and enter the courts of the Lord.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before the Lord, all the earth. A reading from 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This past week was the Fall Theological Conference for the Central State Synod. In normal years, this is a time for rostered leaders of the church, pastors and deacons and synodically authorized ministers and parish ministry associates to get together. There is fellowship, worship, and presentations. It can be a time to get out of normal routines and think about God's activity from a different perspective. But this is the year of COVID. So yes, the meeting was via Zoom. It was a one-day event instead of 3 days. Now, one feature of conferences happening like this, and I suspect many of you know this from your own experience, is that, well, it seduces conference attendees into behaving like it's a normal work week. When it typically would involve travel, there is a clear sign that the week cannot go on as normal. Additionally, in this format, there is a loss of time for fellowship, of reconnecting with colleagues, of meeting new colleagues, of sharing stories and opportunities. Even still, one question that the Bishop Candia asked during her reflection in the opening worship sticks with me. She asked this: "When the church uses only male language in reference to God, does that become a form of idolatry?" Now, some of us are trained to be very careful about the use of pronouns with God. Personally, I avoid pronouns as much as possible, but it makes for really awkward sentences sometimes. So if a pronoun is necessary and I am not referencing Jesus, shall I default to he, him, his language? Who in the congregation will freak out if I use she, her, hers language? What if I use the gender neutral plural they, them, theirs? That arguably could be, well, following some Hebrew texts that refer to God as Elohim, a plural pronoun, albeit masculine. In the presentations, then the question was moved to a variety of spaces. It's really too much to unpack in 10 minutes of sermon. It was kind of too much to unpack in one day. Suffice it to say that questions about how to reference God go deep in tradition, but also pull the church forward into that future God is constantly forming. When tradition becomes too rigid, at what point does that rigid tradition become its own idolatry? I believe that this is the question presented in the second challenge to Jesus today. You might recall that the Pharisees had come to Jesus asking, "By what authority are you doing these things?" Jesus responds with a trilogy of judgment parables. So the Pharisees kind of stepped aside. In my mind, they were kind of like brothers who stepped back and grabbed the little brother and put him up to ask the next question. You go. And indeed, the next question is a challenge intended to trap Jesus. Now, there is so much at stake here. One answer puts Jesus at odds with the Roman occupying force, but the other answer sets him at odds with received tradition around the centrality of God. The question, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? But Jesus asks for the coin used to pay such taxes. And they produce a coin with Caesar's head on it and the inscription that Caesar is a son of God. And here's where it gets interesting. By some commentary accounts, having profane or secular coin in the temple interior was blasphemy. Remember that the Jewish religious leadership had cut a deal with the Roman occupying presence. Unlike just about every other occupied nation, they did not have to put up medallions of Caesar's head in their temple, in their worship space. The Jewish leadership did not want that precisely because of the blasphemy that Caesar claimed God status. The money changer system was all about exchanging the coin of the kingdom for coin of the temple so that sacrificial animals would not be bought, well, directly bought with blasphemous coin. These elaborate systems had emerged to keep the profane occupying coin and blasphemy of Caesar out of the most holy place. And yet in that holy place, where these second order religious leaders come to challenge and entrap Jesus, they are the ones who can and do produce the coin of the kingdom. From there, Jesus makes a rather damning pronouncement: pay to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. This is not just about outwitting the leadership. It is not just about sidestepping the controversy. It is not just about one-upping those disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians. What was at stake then and now is that each one who believed themselves to be faithful live in a complex reality where it is true that everything is God's. God created heaven and earth and all that is in it. God provides for every need. God's love is big and generous and freeing. God's reign seeks the well-being of all creation. At the same time, God's created order includes government writ large and small. There are ways that each faithful person lives in this duality and has duty to each. One of the ways that good, faithful people live their faith is by participating as citizens of their nation. In the case of the United States, that means assessing election decisions through the lens of the reign of God and voting accordingly. It also means paying the appropriate taxes for the common good. It means being generous with all that God has provided. And perhaps it means to look carefully at core commitments to assess what tradition, what choices, what pledges become newly fashioned forms of idolatry. May those idolatries give way to foundational love for all people, just as Jesus proclaimed such love in its teaching, healing, disruption, death, and resurrection.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.